We're in the series Profiles in Faith. Noah Built the Ark. That's the title of our message tonight. And our proposition, what we want you to remember from this message, is to be moved with godly fear. So our first point here is the content of Noah's faith. The content of Noah's faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. All right, so what did Noah's faith contain? Well, first of all, we see that it contained the things that were not seen. What are these things? Well, it had never rained. There had never been a flood. So that was something that was not seen by any person alive, but the revelation that God was giving to him. So no one had anticipated a judgment through a flood. But notice now that Noah saw it by faith. And because he did see it by faith, it led to his works. He was moved with godly fear. His attitude and his actions condemned the unbelieving world, the wicked world around him. So I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 6 now. There's some important information here that we'll be bringing up in the message as we go through. So would you read with me just the first couple of verses here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of them all, which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that it was every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So what was not seen? Well, a cataclysmic judgment upon humanity. You know, I'm sure that Noah's neighbors and the people in his town were saying, Really, Noah? Rain? What's that? A flood? Why are you building a ship so far from water? What point is there in all of this? And so Noah is governed by the word of God, not sight, just the pure word of God. You know, the Bible is an incredible treasure in a day of darkness, that we can actually see things that the world around us does not see because we have God's light to govern us. You know, Noah went way beyond human reasoning or even common sense to what the world would judge. And so the world was judged, or nature is governed by what it sees, governed by what it senses. You know, it says exclusively follow the science. Now, this is not a dig, but just perhaps there's something more prophetic in what this person has said than what they've intended. Our president-elect prophesies what he doesn't really know when he says that it will be a dark winter. A dark winter indeed for the individual and for the national soul, souls who reject the light of righteous faith. So what did his faith include? Well, things not seen. Secondly, the content of Noah's faith, as you see here, was his godly fear. Now, the Greek word here means to act cautiously, circumspectly, to stand in awe or to reverence. You remember the story of the Magi when they came to visit the Christ child, and they stopped in and visited King Herod first, and he said, "Now, when you find out where he is, would you come back, please, and bring me word so I can go to worship him as well?" And it says, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their country another way. And so they took action upon what was revealed to them. His godly fear, it caused him to take action. And when we trust God, even though the world around us ignores the light of the Word of God, we will be moved into action. And so we'll have a response to the one who asks us to do something. And so that is our answer to the revelation that we receive. Well, why did Noah build an ark? That's one of our questions. Because he was moved with godly fear. You know, it's only through faith that we'll be warned of God when things of which he speaks are not as yet seen. You know, the Bible doesn't, most of the Bible and the prophetic word in the book of Revelation is not seen by the world today. It's kind of ignored. But yet it tells us that Christ is going to set up his kingdom and that wickedness and those that are wicked rulers will be put down. But yet that seems to be ignored. So things not seen and his godly fear. Now, what is then the activity of Noah's faith? What is the activity of Noah's faith? Well, there's a couple of things here. He preached righteousness and he built an ark. And so obedience rises out of faith. So go back to chapter 6 with me for just a moment. And let's look at Genesis chapter 6, not Hebrews, but Genesis chapter 6. And look at verse 22. This is what God says about Noah. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. What is that saying? Well, it's saying that he obeyed God. He obeyed God. And so obedience arises out of faith. Now, he preached righteousness. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You can turn over there if you want, because there will be another verse that we reference in the chapter. It will be verse 9. But this is what it says. And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So the first activity of Noah's faith was that he preached righteousness. Now, the Word of God brings light to shine upon all of that by which our hearts are deceived. You know, the light of the Bible removes completely the veil of deception which the devil blinds men with so that they will not see that this is just a world that is passing under the judgment of God. He preached for 120 years. Now, if you stop to meditate on the passage, he lived before Moses. So he didn't have Genesis through Revelation. He didn't have a Bible. What could a man possibly preach on for 120 years? Well, you see, this is where in the Bible field of studying the Word of God or bibliology, we learn that Revelation is larger than the field of inspiration. And obviously God revealed to Noah the things that he was about to do. And so Noah hammered home one central truth, that there was a judgment coming. You see, the world had gotten really bad. But you know, we today have pastors who preach faithful messages to us. They have the Word of God, and they don't get to preach for 120 years. They get to preach maybe for 40 or 50 at the most, maybe 20. And then their ministry is over. But you know, the Word of God is where the power is. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the reason why the Word of God is given to us is that we'll be thoroughly equipped unto every good work to do a service for the Lord. But verse 16 tells us that it is profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For correction, that's what we're doing wrong. For instruction in righteousness, that's just how to get it right. And for training, and that's how to stay right. And so the Bible is a great benefit to us. And it's all we need for a life of faith and practice today. Well, why did I start out by reading Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? You remember the story there about the sons of God seeing the daughters of men and then having children by them, and they were giants in the earth, men of renown. You know, there's some wild speculation about what this, how to interpret this passage, what this is really all about. But what this is about is that he preached as a preacher of righteousness against an unholy alliance, against an unholy alliance. Here's what was happening. The sons of God were of the line of Seth. If you go back to the end of Genesis chapter 4, when Seth is born, the scripture says this: then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Enoch is of the line of Seth, but his ministry, his impact, it faded away. Noah is of the line of Seth. And so the descendants of Seth were spiritual, godly men. They called upon the name of the Lord, but they compromised in this area of their marriages. And it brought them down. It corrupted, it contaminated them. You see, the devil, first of all, tried to terminate the godly seed by killing Abel through his brother Cain. When that didn't work, when God replaced the godly seed, then the devil uses the corruption of these alliances to try to diminish the message of righteousness. And so this is what C.H. McIntosh in his notes on Genesis says. He says, "The mingling of that which is of God with that which is of man is a special form of evil and very effectual engine in Satan's hands for marrying the testimony of Christ on earth, marring the testimony of Christ on earth. This mingling may frequently come with the appearance of something very desirable. It may often look like a wider promotion of that which is of God, a fuller, a more vigorous outgoing of a divine influence, as something to be rejoiced in rather than to be deplored. But our judgment on this too will depend upon how God sees something, not how we see something. So the point of view of God needs to be considered." You know, there can really not be true union in Christianity, or so-called Christianity, where there's union at the expense of truth. The word, the wisdom that is from above, James chapter 3, verse 17 says, is first pure, then peaceable. You have to have truth which results in peace. You can't have union first without truth. So the true Christian's motto should ever be to maintain truth at all costs. If union can be promoted in this way, so much the better. But maintain the truth. What were the apparent results? What did men see? What did God see? Well, faith enabled Noah to cut through the contrary views of his contemporaries and to accept the warning of impending disaster as a fact. Faith enables us to withstand the pressures and respond with reverence to God, obeying the commands to build lives on the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of pressure to churches today to compromise, to bring into the church the worldly influences in areas of society, for entertaining people, to making worship a man-centered experience instead of men giving themselves without reservation to the Lord. And so in the narrative there in Genesis chapter 6, it was this union of the sons of God with the daughters of men that led to the most disastrous consequences. True, the fruit of that union seemed to people to be exceedingly fair. They were mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. I mean, this looked like the cream of the crop. This looked like leadership. But yet, what did God see? God said that the heart of man in his imagination is evil only continually. I must destroy all flesh. Compromise never builds up. Compromise always tears down. We must maintain a distinct separation between that which is right and holy and that which is unholy and impure. And if you think that that interpretation is far off, you can look at the Lord's view of this in the Gospels in Matthew, where he says that men were being married and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and being merry until the day in which the flood came. And so they were compromising the biblical conviction the sons of God were by bringing into their homes the daughters of men and pulling down their spiritual effectiveness. And the whole world suffered as a result of that. Well, another action an activity of Noah was he built an ark. So the original word here is a chest. Now you see on the bottom corner of the screen there, a picture, that's the ark in the state of Kentucky. Now that's not really Noah's ark, but it is what is considered to be to scale. And once you see it, it's a very large ship. And it says here that Noah equipped it. He prepared it. He made it ready. You know, the sad thing about the ark is it was overbuilt. There should have been more people, but there weren't. Noah preached for 120 years as a preacher of righteousness, but he only had 7 converts. Besides himself, there were only 8 people on that ark. And contrary to ignorant Hollywood, there were no stowaways on the ark. But, you know, faith does not wait to see a thing before it believes. Noah didn't wait till it started raining before he built the ark. No, it took 120 years to build that ark. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All men need to know is that God has spoken, and that becomes certainty for your soul. So by faith, Noah built the ark. The building of an ark very far inland must have seemed an absurd procedure to his neighbors. But in that event, his faith was vindicated and their unbelief was condemned. You know, faith has some very practical preparations, very practical preparations. Well, our third point here tonight and our closing point is this: the effect of Noah's faith, the effect of Noah's faith. 3 things happened here. First of all, he becomes an heir of righteousness. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, I want you to see 2 very important verses. I want you to look at verse 8 and verse 9 with me in Genesis chapter 6. Verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. Hebrews 11:7, that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Noah is the first person who is described in the Bible as just or righteous. And so this is a beautiful thing, and that happens through grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of your works, lest any man should boast." You see, it is of God's grace. "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. According to the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." You have nothing to do with your salvation. God has provided it for you. And Noah is an heir of righteousness. Now, this is not so much the salvation, justification, or righteousness that's involved here, as much as it is the righteousness of a life that is built upon that saving faith. And so here's what is beautiful. Okay, he became an heir. He became an owner, a partaker. See, that's what Peter says, is that we have been given the divine nature where we can be partakers. We can share in this life with God. You see, this is a beautiful thing, as God still wants relationships with people today, but they have to come to God on his terms. And so these spiritual blessings are an heritage that are bestowed by God. And so in Hebrews 11:7, it is laid down with absolute and universal standard of righteousness for men according to faith. We live by faith. Now, the second accomplishment or the effect of Noah's faith was it saved his household. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, to the saving of his household. To the saving of his house. You know, what a wonderful testimony. You know, there are a lot of pastors whose children don't know the Lord as Lord and Savior. They've walked away from the things of the Lord. They've not been effective in their own house. And so Noah was effective in his own house. He truly lived righteously in front of his wife and his children. Men, let me challenge you. Be a man of integrity. Be in the home what you are perceived to be in the church. Be righteous in the home. It will save your family, that consistency. The one thing that I can definitely say about my parents was that they lived a righteous life, and it was consistent in the home and out of the home. Now, that doesn't mean that our home didn't have sin, because believe me, I lived in it. I know there was sin. And there was sin in my own heart, and I caused a lot of that sin. But they were consistent witness to me. Now, he saved his household both spiritually and physically. His faith influenced his whole family, and they were saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Then the last thing here, the effect of Noah's faith, was that he condemned the world. Now, if you would just look with me at the second half of verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The word which goes back to its antecedent, which is the word faith. So Noah condemned the world by his faith. Now, condemned the world. What is the world? Is it the globe? Because God did cause the globe all to be surrounded by water. But that's not what the destruction was about. So it's not the physical earth. So Noah, by acting in faith when building the ark, announced the condemnation of humanity, the fallen race. That Noah condemned the conduct of his contemporaries by the contrast which his own faith presented. Here's something that we need to understand. The church needs to be different than the world. The powerlessness and the ineffective ministry of the church today is because there isn't a distinction. Noah condemned the world. They were guilty when they looked at Noah because they knew that he was righteous. And they were uncomfortable around that. Sinners are uncomfortable around those who are righteous by faith. And so his example, his godly living, was a condemnation, but he prophesied that there was a judgment coming for their ungodly living. Why would God say that he was coming to destroy all flesh if he was just destroying the globe? No, it was all flesh. The world was wrong and thus under God's judgment. Now, I put this quote up on our church page earlier in the week, and this is a quote from C.H. McIntosh once again. When one has the Word of God as the basis of his convictions, he may calmly stand against the full tide of human opinion and prejudice. Hey, there's a lot going on in our contemporary American culture where there is a lot of prejudice, and a lot of pressure for Christians just to be quiet. Let's not be quiet. We have the Word of God. We can stand with resolve on the Word. Well, the end result was this, that since he believed and was saved, they too could have been saved had they believed. And so they were condemned by God. In this case, shows that God was just. The ark was truly overbuilt. But Noah was moved with godly fear and built an ark. And so this is our closing point here today. And just for you to remember, be moved with godly fear. Trust God and then take action. Perhaps there's something that God has been asking you to trust him on. You have the Word of God as the basis of that decision. But then you need to take action on that trust and actually do something. You know, Noah's flood, as the Lord Jesus preached it in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, and Luke chapter 17, verse 26, is just a foreshadowing of judgment to come when the Son of Man comes to this earth the second time to set up his kingdom and to judge the nations. It will be a condemnation of a sinful, disobedient generation. And so, in Noah's day, the ark that he built became a prototype or a foreshadowing of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. There was only one door on the ark, and Jesus said that he was the door of the sheepfold. And so this is where we find our faith showing us through spiritual eyes the gospel in the New Testament. Well, I have a question for you. Will your flesh be among those judged in the coming day of the Lord, or will you be delivered because you have faith? Faith has practical applications. Faith will move you to repentance. They're inseparable. And so you can today be saved because God says you can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a universal invitation. God's drawing you. You need to listen and be saved tonight. Be moved with godly fear. Take action. Repent. Noah's faith involved the whole person. His mind was warned of God. His heart was moved with reverence. And his will acted on what God told him. So God doesn't want just, this blind faith. No. He wants all of you. He wants your will, he wants your intellect, and he wants your mind. And so give the Lord Jesus Christ your life tonight. Be moved with godly fear. Well, thank you so much for joining us online tonight. Let's have our benediction, and then we'll have a closing word of prayer. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace.